Good morning, friends. Welcome to worship here at the table. We are grateful to be together. I just wanted to say a short word that Pastor Matt is home. Finally, he got COVID. I know. He knows how he got it. It was with a friend who also has it. So I don't have it. I just have a cold. So sometimes I cough, and if that happens, friends, I will just stop for a moment, and I'm just going to cough. So I feel better when I put people on warning a little bit, so then it feels normal when whatever happens, happens. And, you know, life is beautiful. The world is weary, but we are here, and we are grateful. So I invite you to stand as you can in spirit or in body as we welcome Emmanuel.
Carry me to the place unknown, where the river runs so where the water cold washes over me, and I all but drown in your mercy. Carry me from this hell called where the walls like shepherds sleep, congregations far from the gospel's heart, to the desert of prosperity.
Amen.
God, we bless, be healed somehow.
Let's remain standing for our prayer.
It's been a long day, long enough to complain, long enough to whine and dine my disappointment, to give weariness keys to the house. But then you get the giggles dancing with the dog in the kitchen. Paws sliding, tail wagging, side cramping giggles. I can hear it from across the house. Your joy burrows its way through the cracks in my armor, and then we are both laughing, gulping for joyous, electric air. And that's when I know. If you grab my hand, if you ask me to dance, if our weary human souls can make room for connection, then we will survive. Joy will take root. Love will keep her keys to the house.
We're going to move into our candle lighting, and I invite you to go back and forth with me on this. I'll be one, and you all will be all. How does a weary world practice peace?
By listening before we speak and saying sorry when we need to.
By advocating for justice and caring for our neighbor. By practicing Sabbath and forgiving 70 times 7.
By choosing grace over hate and opening.
There are a million ways to practice peace, so today we light the candle of peace as a reminder and a charge. With God's help, may we bring peace into a weary world. Amen.
From our fears and sins relieved. Such a beautiful
music.
Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We welcome those online. Kara Tupi is our host today. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary. It's on the benches and outside. You can see it's a beautiful purple color, and you can use your phone, and it will take you to our bulletin. If you would like to learn more about Community of Faith, please go to our website, thetableumc.org, and complete an online connect card. We are thrilled to celebrate Candlelight Christmas Eve with you all. We'll be offering 3 Candlelight Christmas Eve worship times. The first one is a Traveler Candlelight Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. on Thursday, December 21st, in the sanctuary of Davis United Methodist Church. We hope you might be going to home for Christmas or traveling over the weekend. We'll feel welcome to for those opportunity to light candles and sing the song of Christmas Eve in Davis on December 21st. So if you are traveling and going away for Christmas, you have an opportunity to come on Thursday, December 21st at Davis UMC and light candles with us. And then we will have 2 services here at the Table UMC. The first is at 5 p.m. and the other is at 11 p.m., which I say midnight. And here in the sanctuary at the Table, and it's evening on December 24th. We hope to see you, and we hope you'll invite those in your network who might be looking for a place to worship for Christmas. With that, I also would like to welcome those who would like to volunteer to help out on December 24th and 21st. 24th at 5 p.m. and at 11 p.m. We will also have a QR code that is right at the back for people to sign up to help in Candle Luminary on December 23rd. So please see me or someone who is at the Welcome Next Step table. I invite you to stand in body or spirit and join our music team in a song called Mother of God.
Mary, full of grace, the Lord your God is with thee. Blessed are you to bless all the world. Mary, peace is yours, the Spirit is upon you. You will be with child, do not fear. Mother of God, your baby boy will grant us peace. Your baby boy will grant us peace. Word made flesh, born of virgin Mary. Hope is in the world, Emmanuel. The Lamb of God cry out for peace, can you hear? In our despair, we doubt in your return. Messiah, will you come once again?
Emmanuel, God with us on this Advent Sunday. My name is Bob Martinez, and at this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly play sanctuaries as our musicians help us with some walking music. That is walking music. We remind families that we do receive an offering in godly play, which will be going to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are unfortunately experiencing homelessness. We also have loving and professional care for our youngest children in the A-frame, and godly play takes place upstairs and is designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, and I will be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, and we invite you to follow along. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. A voice cries out, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. My brothers and sisters, at this time I invite you to stand in body or spirit as we sing together, Joy Will Come.
shadow has no power over us, for we will trust in the Lord. And through the night we have a song to sing, a hope that we can cling to. Joy will come.
Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me, when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing, nothing will be impossible for God. And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord."
Many afternoons, our grandson naps at our house. It's because his mom works less than 5 minutes from us. And this past week was no exception. When he woke up, he came downstairs midweek to find his mama and me sipping a warm beverage. And he assumed it was hot tea, because that's what grandma drinks, hot tea. And I told him, "This is not hot tea. This is warm apple cider." Did he want a taste? No go. I tried my best. I made it sound really good. And he generally likes to try new things. No go. Then his mom brought out his very well-used tea set, poured the warm apple cider in his teacup. Sometimes all we need is a bit of connection to feel joy. Yeah. He decided to give it a try. And here's the face. Yeah, his shirt actually says "Force of Nature." But yeah. Sometimes, though, it's not so easy to make the connections that can bring us so quickly to joy like that. Especially when we are weary, it can be hard to express anything resembling joy. When we are weary, we might find it hard to share space with others because our weariness has seemingly stolen our joy. However, when you really think about it, is it even possible to be joy-filled by yourself? There are things we can do that will bring us joy, but what external joy is even possible without others to acknowledge it? So, total truth, it was a beautiful hot cider moment with Hudson, so I took a photo, which you saw. That's my new screensaver now on my phone. And now I've shared it with all of you, right? And I'm hearing in my head, and maybe you are too, if a tree falls in the woods, right? Could it be that our internal joy is only realized in our external connections? Last week, we began our Advent journey by acknowledging how grief has left scars on us, and we are weary, weary of war. Weary from the overwhelm we experience when we allow ourselves to be fully present to the suffering that is all around us. And like the psalmist, our invitation was to pour out our weariness as we cried out to God, "How long?" and plead for restoration. And that's why we have a pouring time over here during communion. This week, though, we want to share and be aware of the ways in which sharing our joy with others helps our weariness, as we focus on how that shared joy is one way that a weary world can rejoice. In community, our joy expands. If y'all could hear how great you sound singing, like part of me was like, this is all we need to do this morning, is have beautiful people gathered together, joining our voices and singing along with these musicians. In her book, Atlas of the Heart, researcher Brené Brown defines joy like this. It's an intense feeling of deep spiritual connection, pleasure, and appreciation. She also says joy is characterized by a connection with others, or with God, the nature, or the universe. Therefore, connection really is fundamental to experiences of joy. And that connection is written all over our scripture for today. The good news begins to take shape in Elizabeth's womb, but scripture tells us she stays secluded, hiding her pregnancy from others. That is, until Mary arrives at her door, who's also pregnant. I think it's possible that Mary's arrival is the inbreaking that changes everything for Elizabeth. For in that moment, her child leaps in her womb and she is filled with the Spirit. Connection. She can't help but feel joy. Her joy is contagious and wraps around Mary like a hug. So often, a simple hug is a welcome connection in the midst of weariness. She loves Elizabeth, who's probably actually older than Mary's old mother. But Elizabeth never talks down to her, never pats her on the head in that dismissive way that adults do. Elizabeth always treated her, Mary, like a grown-up, like a friend, and a friend is just what she needs right now. So Mary shows up. She shows up with every question circling in her head. What if Joseph denounces me? What if my parents turn their backs on me? And the shame of it all, how am I supposed to care for a baby all by myself, and I don't have a place to live, and I don't have a job, and I don't know how to get food, and who's going to help me? In the meantime, Elizabeth was withdrawn and had been alone for 5 whole months with a husband who can't speak. As we heard, there is no indication in the text that explains her isolation. But we can speculate that it may be due to the same reason Zechariah was silenced. Elizabeth, just like Mary, most likely, though, has questions too. Does the Lord know my age? We've been wanting kids for so long, and now? Seriously, now when my knees hurt? The shame of being thought infertile has filled me with weariness for so long, so how am I supposed to trust that this time it's actually going to work out? How do I get in touch with my joy, she thinks, when I'm so guarded about the outcome? That's one of the side effects of being infertile. You're guarded, guarded, guarded. Somehow, though, Elizabeth, in her maturity, comes to a place of resolve, and that's verse 25. This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people. But then she hears a knock at the door. Knock, knock, knock. And that's when Mary shows up. Connection. Mary finds Elizabeth is pregnant and the two regard one another. She looks amazing, gorgeous. She's always wanted this, Mary thinks. So she's so full of life that it's hard to see beyond her joy. And Elizabeth's face and hands show her years, but her eyes are clear and full. She sees Mary looking with surprise at her big belly and laughs out loud out of the depths of their now shared joy. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. The Reverend Cecilia Armstrong imagines that scene like this. to pregnant women meeting and sharing their experiences with one another, two pregnant women who are related but surely different from one another. One's young and one is old. One is married, one is not married quite yet. One is carrying the word of God and one is carrying the one who prepares the way. They were both separate when they got the news of God's plan for their lives. It's when they are connected that they experience shared joy. It is when they come out of their isolation that joy becomes the connection. If comfort is a necessity in this weary world, then rejoicing should be done in the company of others. Mary and Elizabeth have shown us joy in joining and comfort in connecting. Inspired by Frida Kahlo and her work, which is called Two Fridas, the artist Nicolette Pagnara created two mothers to depict Mary and Elizabeth. So let's see that. Yeah. In her artist's statement for two mothers, Nicolette asserts, while Elizabeth is crowned with holy gray hair and a dress marked with the blood of previous miscarriages, Mary sits next to her holding a childhood doll draped in the jewelry, flowers, and silks of a traditional Middle Eastern Jewish bride. Their stories and experiences are vastly different, but Mary sought out her kin, and this reminds me that we do not need to do the hard things alone. There's power and connection. With you, there is joy. So many artists have been inspired to capture this scriptural moment. And here's one more image I just wanted to share from James Janknet. It's Annunciation. What allows these two women to build that connection even when their experiences are so vastly different? What allows any of us to build connections between each other when our experiences are vastly different? In traditional Catholic theology, Mary's body becomes an archetype for all subsequent holding environments for God. Sanctuaries, cathedrals, nuns' habits, the Mother Church, they are all modeled in a way upon Mary. There she sits, powerfully static. She's electric, ballooning out with the internal pressure of the infinite. But when Mary learns she's pregnant, what does she do? Does she remain in place, hips broadening to buttress some future cathedral? No, she doesn't do that. She seeks connection. She straps on her walking sandals and travels to a Judean hill country where she enters the house of Zechariah and greets Elizabeth. Just imagine the determination, the long walk up the Judean hills. Mary arrives and Elizabeth's baby leaps with recognition because he, John the Baptist in utero, and his mother Elizabeth recognize the God in Mary. My own fertility journey was also a very long uphill climb. It's not true of everyone, but turns out many of us have had such a climb towards parenthood. When I wanted babies, they did not materialize. After many years of heartache, our first son was born, but then it took many more miscarriages until our daughter arrived. And during that time, I adjusted my search. The baby we decided, didn't necessarily have to come from my womb. Any womb will do. And so in the course of 1 year, I ended up giving birth to our daughter, and our birth mom gave birth to our second son, Isaac. Not how we had planned it, how it happened. I was the ripe old age of 40 when all of this came together. They used to be called geriatric pregnancy. I just can't even stand it. But I understand they've upgraded it to advanced maternal age. Don't get me started. Either way, however you want to call it, there is a sense in our culture that advancing in age brings on shame about being pregnant. But you know, when you consider the alternative of not being here at all, God give us aging. Amen? Amen. During that time, having a very few close connections who understood and did not question my longing for motherhood, even though I was approaching those old 40s, were life-giving. So it makes sense to me, deep down in me, that the text tells us Mary stayed with Elizabeth and her silent husband for 3 whole months. Connection. Mary stayed until Elizabeth was no doubt giving birth to her son. And let us also hold through the prophet Isaiah, God speaking tender words of comfort that the women might have even, because they would have had it memorized, might have even been reciting back and forth to each other. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, don't fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. This is the comfort that we can give to and receive from each other during this season of Advent and beyond. The comfort of connection and companionship and worship and prayer. A pastor who I know also suffered infertility and advanced age in her childbearing writes about ways that spoke to both of us, of Mary and Elizabeth. Maybe it will speak to you too. Her name is Mary Barnett, Reverend Mary Barnett. That I am here with my children is astounding. 3 complete strangers stopped at 3 completely different clinics and went through a laborious and painful process to donate their eggs for different reasons that I will never fully know. A bigger mix of chance encounters and choices and near extinction experiences and improbabilities and genetic whiplashes and moments of divine surrender than could ever fit in my living room, even if we all bowed down. And now my family is. It seems a modern miracle of biblical proportions. Human initiative and divine intervention walking hand in hand in the hills around Judea and sliding down the polished floors of hospital corridors and infertility clinics, which is why I don't think about it very much. I'd have to bow so low all the time, she says, every day. So low I might have missed the whole thing. It does seem a modern miracle of biblical proportions that the uphill story of 2 very unlikely women has stood the test of time to come to all of us again this morning. And when I hear it, I am reminded of my journey from the isolation of infertility to the gift of parenting into the absolute miraculous joy of grandparenting. All of our journeys are unique, and parenthood is not the end-all be-all for many. But something is. I believe we all come through weariness with the connections of one another to share our joy. This is how God is made known in love. And it may sound too simple. I know, though, the hard work it entails. So just hold this ancient story of these 2 women this week as you go about your life. May this story meet you in your weariness. May you realize the miracle of connection, which brings joy. He's the best. Amen? Amen. Amen. Connection, a way we find joy in a weary world. The prayer of confession is a place of connection with God. In the prayer of confession, we get to come before God as our full, messy, honest selves, if we're willing. And in the midst of all that mess, God tells us we are loved and claimed and forgiven. There's no greater joy than that. So I invite us to join, if you are willing and able in body, spirit, to stand up. Not because you have to, but because you are able. And let us connect with our merciful God. God of laughter, God of open front doors and family reunions, we confess that we often doubt good news. Instead of leaning into joy, we lean into scarcity. Forgive us for forgetting that joy is amplified when it is shared. Heal the wounds we have from past hurts and teach us how to throw open our doors like Elizabeth. Show us how to find joy in connection. Amen. Family, family of faith, family of the table. I imagine that when we come before God with the truth of our lives, God meets us just like you heard, that God met Elizabeth and God meets Mary. The door is open from God, always open. There is always laughter somewhere in the room. There is embracing, and that is sacred. So trust this and believe this. You are claimed. You are loved. You are forgiven. You are sent to serve. Find joy in that. Let's say amen. Amen. And I would like to introduce to us this ancient practice. It's called passing the peace. We do it very briefly here. I say, may the peace of Christ be with you. And you say, amen. Let's turn to our neighbor, the one that is right around us, and do the same. Chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, God the painter, God the creator touched the swirling mass, and God's hand separated earth from water and water from the sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit grew ripe. To celebrate, God threw holy fireworks into the sky, placing the stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and all kinds of swimming beings made waves in the water. And God reached to the sky, and all kinds of things with wings took flight. And God said, "This is good." And when everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed the connection of God's breath into it and said, "You are the one I've been imagining. You and everything that you see around you is my beloved creation, and all of it is good." But it wasn't good for long, because God's people could not be faithful. Despite God's generosity and goodness, they chose scarcity instead of abundance. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out truth and compassion and justice and put them inside a form that people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be in our connections with one another. If we would abide in God's love as Jesus abided in God's unfolding grace.
Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
did all he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other. But we couldn't accept that, we couldn't agree about it, and we became afraid. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was too much. The principalities and powers which lured the people of God to turn against the way, but made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus prevailed. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises all of us that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those longest ago companions, we don't always understand, we don't get it, the message that Jesus brings to us or what is coming and going and coming again means for us, but we can be grateful and we can sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen.
Jesus gathered his friends together. He took the simple food that was their Passover meal, the bread and the cup, and he blessed them both, and he gave thanks to God, and he said, I'm sharing this meal with you now so that when you share it together, you can remember me. Together with these ancient words that have been passed to us through the generations. The church named this the Lord's Prayer, and we encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear in your own heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pour out your spirit on all of us gathered in many places, God. Pour out your spirit on these gifts before us and make these gifts the body and love of Christ and make all of us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We will share here in the sanctuary at different stations, which are going to be on my right, your left, front side. So there are two stations, and you can go, if you're in this, I shouldn't be doing that. Yeah. How about you hold the bread? That would be beautiful. If you're on this side, you can come out your left side of the pew and go to the station that is right there. You know, it's a little bit fumbly, but it's okay. And there's always a station in the back. We will also have, for those of us here in the sanctuary, a station up front after communion or before for an outpouring in symbolically. And then there is a chalkboard in the back where we invite you to answer the question as best that you can so that we might share in those ideas together. Please always remember that on the platter is bread that is baked for us, and there are also crackers that don't have gluten in them, and in the cup here at the table and in all Methodist traditions is always grape juice. For those of us who are at home or other places online, we invite you to bring close to you your bread and your juice, and maybe light a candle for you where you are in your place. Remember also, and finally, and there's a lot to remember. You can't mess it up, right? Even if you don't remember what comes first, it doesn't matter. doesn't matter. We have time, we are in this together. We watch over one another in love. This is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for all of us. There you go. This is God's love poured out for all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Feelings to detangle.
Got bags to put down with laundry to wash away. Stories to untell that I've told so well. Said I've been deep conditioned. I fancy.
feelings to detangle.
Got bags to put down with laundry to wash.
Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. May your peace make us one and call us to love one another in deep connection, and in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Amen. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to respond to God's love by giving generously in support of our ministries here at the table. Your giving makes our ministries here possible and helps our community of faith align with God's awe-inspiring presence in the world around us. Thank you for practicing your faith by sharing generously. Our Christmas offering, let's see if I can do this by heart. We're sharing it with both an international organization, United Methodist Committee on Relief, and their work in Gaza and in Israel, as well as the other part of it will go to Opening Doors and their work in resettling refugees. And the way to give to that is either online, generously that way, or if you are a person like me who still writes checks, dinosaur, you can always write the word Christmas on the check, and that is all you need to do. I invite you to stand in body or spirit as our music team and Professor Tao helps us go out this morning.
So if you're returning, you know how this goes. But if not, we wanted to introduce this round to you. And so it's in parts. So we'll teach it to you in parts. The first part has a little beat on the first one. So we either stomp or clap or just hold for a second in order for that to happen. So it goes like this. One, two, three, one, two, three.
We will find our way by candlelight.
Let's do that again. One, two, three, one, two, three.
We will find our way by candlelight.
Very good. And the second part starts right on the beat.
Each of us holding a flame.
Try that again. One, two, three, one, two, three.
Each of us holding a flame.
Good. The next part starts like a pickup. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2.
As we move into shadows, our light will change.
Let's try that again. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2.
As we move into shadows, our light will change.
And the last part also has a pickup. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2.
Always different and always the same.
Remember to hold same really long so you can get back to your clap to start all over again. Try it again. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2.
Always different and always the same.
We will find our way by candlelight, each of us holding a flame.
As we move into shadows, our light will change. Always different and always the same.
One more time.
We will find our way by candlelight, each of us holding a flame. As we move into shadows, our light will change. Always different and always the same.
Now it goes into a round, and Hannah's going to start first. This side you're going to sing with her. This side you're going to sing with me. And then Ariel's going to do something else on top.
Yeah, don't listen to her.
Don't listen to her. Ready?
Back row wants to.
First group. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
We will find our way by candlelight.
Each of us holding our way by candlelight. As we move into shadows, our light will change. Always different and always the same.
Friends, as we leave this place, we're going to try to keep singing. You sound so beautiful. I'm crying. Can't cry. Will cough. Don't cry. So we're going to go from this place into a weary world so that we may speak tenderly, do the good that is ours to do, choose connection, hold on to hope, and remember that Christ took on flesh for this world. We are all God's beloved. We are God's total beloved. So go with joy. The world needs it. Amen.
All together first.
As we move.